let your glory fall in this place, O Lord. Holy Spirit, flow.
I tell you, it's going to be great when we are at that point in time, if you will, the very beginning of eternity, when we will see the Lord's glory. And I mean, we'll truly see His glory regularly, see His Son every day, just like we see the glory of the Son every day now.
Fresh anointing, come this hour.
It's Vicky Yohe asking God to reveal His glory.
Let your glory fall.
We're going to wrap up for now where we are with regards to why we love. Yes, indeed, why we love. There are reasons that we love. I mean that. There are reasons for it. And one of the things that I really, really like about God is the fact that He helps us gain perspective. You know, life is tough, and it always has been. Especially, not only for, but especially for people who love God. Think about in the very beginning of what was happening on the earth. And Abel loved God so much that he determined he was going to please God. And when God said, I want you to bring me a sacrifice, and I want it to be this kind of sacrifice, Abel obeyed God. Abel's older brother Cain decided he was not going to give God what God wanted. He was going to give God whatever he wanted to give God. As a result, neither he nor his offering were accepted by God. Both Cain and his offering were rejected by God. And instead of deciding that he was going to wise up, humble himself, and live according to God's dictates, Cain decided he would resent and hate his own brother who had not done a thing to him. All his brother did was comply with God's directives. So you had the older brother who rebelled against God, hating his younger brother who obeyed God. And the disobedient Cain murdered the obedient Abel. Think about what God tells us about the relationship between Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, again, being the older brother. Both of them being the sons of Abraham. But Ishmael having been born from the mother who was not a part of the promise. God had promised Abraham that his child of promise, his child through whom the whole world would be blessed, all nations would be blessed, all families of the earth would be blessed, would come through the son who would come from Abraham and his wife, Sarah. Ishmael was born first, as you know, because Sarah was unable for many, many years to become pregnant. She finally proposed to her husband Abraham that he take Sarah's servant as a second wife, have sexual intercourse with that second wife, and impregnate her. And then when that wife became pregnant, came time to deliver her baby, she would sit between, in front of Sarah and between Sarah's legs. And it would be as though Sarah herself were giving birth to a baby. Abraham agreed. He yielded to his wife and did what she said, took on Sarah's servant as his second wife. Sure enough, she became pregnant. She delivered her baby. And as time went on, Sarah finally began to believe that God would give her ability to have her own child, and not only her own child in general, but a son in particular. The son through whom God would fulfill his promise to bless the nations. Sarah became pregnant by her husband Abraham and gave birth to a son, Isaac. And when Isaac was able to run around as a toddler, his older brother Ishmael, his older half-brother Ishmael, resented him, became jealous of him, and began to just dog him, just talk to him bad. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that the older brother Ishmael, who was not the child of promise, persecuted his younger brother, who was the child of promise. And that's the way it goes. That's the way it has always been. Those who rebel against God hate and resent the people who obey God. And as a result, the world is a mess. There's no question that people who rebel against God often also dislike each other. Another sad truth is that amongst those of us who truly love God, those of us who say that we are children of God, those of us who say we love God, there are many, even amongst that group, who truly dislike and sometimes hate the people who truly love God and work to imitate him, strive to please him. So the world is rough because it's in a mess. It's sure enough a mess. And so there's a lot of stress. Because of the mess, there's a lot of stress. And everyone experiences it. From the richest to the poorest, male and female, from the youngest to the oldest, we all experience stress because of the mess. Fortunately, for those of us who truly, truly love our God, we love the Lord Jesus and we're doing what we can to please him. We're living to please him. He lets us know that he gives us peace. He gives us joy in the midst of the stressful mess. But how many of you have figured out that although we are grateful for having the experience of peace and joy in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of ongoing messes, that we long for the day when we will no longer have to work so hard to experience ongoing, uninterrupted peace and joy? That's one of the reasons that I am so glad that God makes it clear that he has something else in store for us too. That in addition to the peace and the joy that we can experience right now, while we're in the middle of ongoing mess, that the day is coming when mess will be completely done away with. And we won't have to work to experience his peace. We won't have to work to experience his joy. Because all of those who caused the trouble will be completely and permanently, eventually, separated from us. Permanently and completely separated from us forever. And so the people who really enjoy drama will have more drama than they can stand. And we won't be bothered by it, because they'll be removed from us. The fallen angels who love drama and thrive on drama, that actually wears them out too, will be removed from us. all of those people who keep stuff going and keep stuff going will be in the lake of fire forever. All of those fallen angels, all of those demonic spirits that have just worked so hard to keep mess stirred up all the time, who have been thrown into the lake of fire. And once they are thrown into the lake of fire, it is over. It's all over. They will have more drama than they can handle, and we'll never have any of it ever again. Those of us who are faithful to the Lord our God will never have to deal with drama again. Remember now, I said, once those who insist on rebelling against God are thrown into the lake of fire. Because you look at the scripture, you know that in Revelation chapter 20, for 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus will reign on the earth while Satan is locked down in the abyss. One angel will take the king of the forces of darkness, the king who is over the people of darkness, the king who is over the demons of darkness. One angel will grab that Satan, will grab him and take him into the abyss, throw him into the abyss. He's going to snatch Satan up and throw him into the abyss. The NIV says he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss. One angel is going to throw the king of darkness into the abyss and lock it over him and seal it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations until the 1,000-year period is ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short time. After he's set free, at the end of that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is going to deceive the nations again. And those who choose to rebel against God are going to join Satan encircling around the city where the Lord Jesus and his saints will be. Fire is going to come down from heaven and devour them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then the dead are judged. A great white throne set in place. A great white throne. And the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Death and Hades, death and hell, thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The king of darkness will be thrown into the lake of fire, thrown into the lake of fire. And all of his subjects will also be thrown into the lake of fire. After that, because see, that is the final and eternal separation. All the ones who love darkness thrown into the lake of fire. After that, John says in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, God really does give us a lot to look forward to. And I'm glad. That's the very reason he had all of this included in his scriptures, so that we would know what else is coming. So that we would know that while we sometimes have to work hard to push aside the effects of the madness that is all around us, day after day, week after week, year in and year out, month after month. The day is coming when we won't have to work to experience peace and joy all day, every day. Because those who are opposed to the peace of the Lord, those who are opposed to the joy of the Lord, will have been removed completely from God, from the Lord, and from those of us who love his peace and who love his joy, who love him. They'll be suffering in the lake of fire, never again able to rejoin us. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. A new heaven. A lot of us really look forward to the day that we can move into a new home. Whether that's an existing home and it'll be our first time living in it, or whether it's a brand new home built from the ground up, no one ever lived in it. We will be the first ones in it. The excitement of moving into a new home. Sometimes people lose sleep. They're so excited. Their last few nights, maybe the last couple of weeks in their apartment or in the home, wherever it is, that they're getting ready to leave as they prepare to move into the new one. That is some serious excitement. And people be sure enough looking forward to that, anticipating it, excited about it. Can you imagine moving into a new earth? Moving on to a whole new earth where everything is supremely better than anything we'd ever known before. Anything we will have ever known before. A new heaven to go with that new earth. God is letting us know that's happening because he's giving us something to look forward to. We are encouraged to kind of dismiss the shame of what we're sometimes caused to go through now as we, like the Lord Jesus, look forward to the glory set before us. He's letting us know, I have a way of sustaining you now, and you can experience my peace and my joy on some level right now as I sustain you, as I keep you going. But I want you to know that there's a day coming when you will not have to be sustained through hardships and trials and madness, because all of that will be gone away. It will be done away with forever. And it'll only be about peace. It'll only be about what helps to experience joy. Let me share some more of that with you when I come back.